One of the things I think that has really changed my life and probably our lives is being in a small group.
Yep.
Because you're looking for and you're wanting biblical truth and help. And so you're always wondering, how can I get that? And man, when we've been in small groups, it has changed us. And one of the great things about family life is we have great resource material for you in our small groups.
And guess what? They're all on sale right now. The month of August, 25% off all of our small group materials. You don't want to miss this sale. Go to familylifetoday.com, find the small group you want, get it, and start seeing God use you and your marriage to change others.
And guess what? No code needed. Just go to familylifetoday.com. Hey, we just wanted to give you a heads up before you listen to this next program, because today's conversation on family life covers some pretty sensitive, but really important subjects that may not be suitable for younger ears. So just use some discretion when listening to this next broadcast.
Hey, and let me add this. And if you do listen with your kids, talk about it after with them.
Right. This is an important conversation to have with maybe older kids, just depending on what you're thinking. But we just wanted to give you a heads up.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. And you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. We both know that parents don't like talking with their kids about porn.
Well, I mean, sex is one thing. Porn's even harder to talk about.
It's super awkward. But if parents had a video series that they could watch with their kids about the harmful effects of porn, do you think they'd watch it?
Yeah, I do. Some would still even be scared to do that. But if they realize this is a really important conversation to have with your kids, and here's a tool to help you do it, oh, yeah, I don't know any parent that wouldn't do it.
I think so, too.
You're like, thank God somebody's created something to give us sort of a guideline to do it. Why are you asking?
Well, because there's a video series that does exist about this. And today, we're going to hear a portion of Ron Deal's conversation with Brian Goins about the series Brain, Heart, World for the Family Life Blended Podcast.
And I know this, if Brian Goins created it, it's good. Ron Deal oversees our blended family ministry here at Family Life. He's a licensed therapist. He's done therapy on us. And he's the best-selling author of books like The Mindful Marriage, which is their latest book he and Nan wrote, and it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. If you haven't picked it up yet, you got to do it. And also The Smart Step Family. You may also know Brian Goins is also on staff here at Family Life. He oversees things like The Weekend Remember. He's done a refresh on that and also did a refresh on the new Art of Marriage video series. And also, Gayla Grace joins them in this conversation. She's the writer and a speaker with our Blended Family Ministry as well.
Okay, so before we listen, here's what you need to know about the series Brain, Heart, World.
First of all, it's available online for free.
But that's kind of great. Also, it was designed to help parents talk to their kids about porn so you can watch it with your tweens and teens and then talk together about what you're learning.
And it was designed to go into public schools, so it does not include scripture, but it's very easy for Christian parents to wrap Christian beliefs around it. There is so much scientific evidence supporting God's admonition to flee from sexual immorality. That's 1 Corinthians 6. And this series gives you and your child those facts with the hope that your child will make better decisions about pornography. I mean, we all know this is huge.
It's huge. So let's hear a portion of episode 97 of the Family Life Blended Podcast with Ron Deal, Gayla Grace, and Brian Goins.
Every parent and every child should watch Brain, Heart, World. And I really mean that. It is a game changer for people who don't really understand the impact of pornography on their heart and mind. But for parents and kids, why would anybody listening want to have a conversation and use this series as a igniter for dialogue?
Right.
Why?
Why? I think the biggest reason is your kids are looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think most parents have the idea, well, not my kid. And we have given them the tool to have the most access to the most amount of porn in history. and we hand it to them generally at a fourth, fifth, sixth grade level. And we expect, well, they wouldn't look at it. Mm-hmm. Not my kid. And it is becoming the leading sex educator of our kids. So if you want porn to be the sex educator of your kids, then don't talk to them about it.
Okay, so let's chase a little bit of the substance that's in this series, yeah, just to give people a preview to that very end, the emptiness of it and how people just sort of find themselves, you know, in a place they didn't ever intend to go.
Right.
Let's start with brain.
Okay.
The series is called Brain, Heart, World. And so let's start with brain. What are we learning about how the brain responds to porn?
Yeah. We're basically learning that what we've created when we created the internet, and like any technology, the porn industry knows how to leverage every form of technology for its own good. And what's driving so much of it is money. It's making more combined than Google, than and Amazon and Netflix. It's making more money than all of those industries together.
Did you know your ability to charge a credit card over the internet was, yep, developed by the porn industry so that they could make money?
Exactly. So it's driven by that. They know what fuels people. They know what people crave. So they give it to people. And so what we discovered is we created unwittingly the first visual drug that porn, a brain on porn scans exactly like a brain on heroin and cocaine. And it affects the same region of the brain and releases the same amount of dopamine as heroin and cocaine. And so dopamine is a pleasure drug that we have in our brain. And it's a good thing. You know, whenever you do something that you like running, you have that runner's high. I've never gotten a runner's high, but people that run a lot.
I have runner's low.
I have runner's low. But when you eat something good, like we had a great meal last night, your dopamine gets released. When you are in love with somebody, dopamine can get released. And so, but when what narcotics do is it hijacks the brain to release an inordinate amount to where I keep wanting to get that high and I'll do whatever it takes to get that high. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about that, we show how the reward center gets hijacked and how what's happening is we end up craving the very thing that will end up driving us away from the real intimacy. Because what's sad about porn is that it trains your brain to be, once you bond that with the sexual experience, you basically are saying to your brain, this is how you experience good sex. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of kids that might be virgins when they get married, but because they've been raised on a steady diet of porn, they've trained their brain to be aroused by pixels more than people. When they finally try to have a sex act with another person, they can't even get aroused, mm-hmm, because they've trained their brain, which is the biggest sex organ, to be aroused by scenes on video. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of stuff in that 30 yeah minute. And that's the thing. The other thing about these episodes, they're short.
Yeah.
They're like 27, 29 minutes. And so you can watch it and then have a great conversation about it.
So in the video, you report on this study that was done where this guy created cardboard butterflies.
Yeah.
So that the male butterflies would be attracted to the cardboard butterfly that was bigger and bolder and the colors, right, were more bright. Mm-hmm. And it basically replaced the actual female butterflies.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you know, what they learned from that is that your brain is drawn to what is exaggerated.
Exactly.
And over time, you prefer that over the real thing. In, mm-hmm, other words, it remaps the physical structures of the brain to create this response to that which is exaggerated, mm-hmm, not real. Porn is just exaggerated in terms, yes, of its sex and the images that it portrays. And so over time, mm-hmm, when your body gets mapped in that direction, when you finally get married and have an actual sexual relationship,
yep,
men are having, in their 20s, have an erectile dysfunction because they prefer cardboard, mm-hmm, over the real thing.
Yeah.
That is frightening.
It is frightening. It should frighten us. And you don't see that on the erectile dysfunctional commercials.
It's,
you
know, it's an old guy.
It's, yeah, an old guy. It's, well, and the reality is the blue pills go into, mm-hmm, a lot of kids in their 20s. And whether you're married or not, you're having sex, and it's like, why can't I get aroused? Or I have to watch porn before I have sex with somebody. It's just, it's sad. Mm.
It's also sad for the female on the other side, too, that, mm-hmm, you know, they're affected as much as the male by what is going on.
It really is. And I also want to be careful, too, Gail. I know you saw this. One of our first stories that we use is from a female, because what we're discovering is that 30% of porn users now are women. Mm-hmm. Now, it's done differently. It's, mm-hmm, interesting how the porn industry knows what arouses women versus generally. I know we can't make total generalities on this, but the porn that's designed more for women is a lot different than the porn that's designed for men. But they can get hooked on it just as easily.
Genderalities.
Genderalities.
I see what you did there. That was really good.
You got to watch out for those.
Yeah. The woman, that one of the testimonies, she said that she didn't feel like, she got to a point where she didn't feel like anything was good in her life.
Yeah.
Like, I found that really interesting, that it's sort of like, yeah, I don't feel good about this or me and you know, this aspect of my life. I just don't feel good about anything in life.
Right.
How that generalizes. Back when I was a youth minister, 30-something years ago, I remember we made these connections between kids that were actively a part of our youth group and then suddenly dropped out. That very frequently we knew they had started engaging in sex with a boyfriend or girlfriend, or there was something sexual going on in their world that was creating shame to the point where they didn't want to hang out with Christian people, didn't feel worthy of being in that space, whatever that whatever that made sense to them. But that was often one of those things we knew to start asking about. Well, now it's that times 100.
Yeah. Well, and we've taken the shame out of the whole discussion. And I mean healthy shame. There was a healthy shame to this. And I think in a good way, it's there's something internal that I know is off. And what we've done is legitimize it in our culture to where now pornography is a harmless, it's a harmless activity. It's a victimless crime. So what we try to do is show how, no, the one that you're harming is actually you.
Yes.
It's keeping you from the very thing that you're made for, to experience. It's counterfeit. You're settling for counterfeit sex. And you want, you're made for more.
Wow, that's so good. You're listening to Family Life Today, and we're listening to a portion of the Family Life Blended Podcast with Ron Deal and his guests, Gayla Grace and Brian Goins.
And here's why we're sharing this conversation with you. If you don't know, pornography is coming for your kids, and it's coming for you. And we must actively combat its impact on our families and our communities, or more people are going to fall prey to it. So a tool like Brain Heart World can make a huge difference.
I mean, this is just a huge passion for us to protect our kids, our families, and I know it is for you too. So let's go back to the conversation. And by the way, we're only sharing a small portion of the episode. So if you want to hear the whole thing, download episode 97 of Family Life Blended.
Bad for you. Just this morning, Brian, I was reading some research that said men who use porn on a regular basis feel more lonely, they're more insecure, and they're more dissatisfied with their appearance than men who don't. Yeah, you're really harming you as well as some other things. That brings me to heart.
Sure.
Brain, heart, world. Heart is about how does porn impact our relationships?
Yeah.
How would you sum that up?
You know, I think the thing that we all long for as parents, I think, Gayla, you and Ron and I know for me, I have two main desires in my life for my kids. I've got three kids, and I'm tearing up even thinking about it. I want them to have a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, their creator. I want them to be able to connect with him in such a powerful way that they realize that in him is life and life to the fullest. And I want them to have a deep, intimate relationship, if God so designs them, to have that with another person. Now, maybe they'll be single. That's great if that's how God wants to gift them. But my hope is that those two things happen. Porn sabotages both of those. It disrupts the connection vertically because you feel shame. You feel the sense of there's something off here, that my creator didn't create me for this. I think that's an internal thing. And if I keep using it to the point where I callous my heart, I move farther and farther away from God. Same thing is true with pornography in a relationship. There is no psychologist that I have seen that I know that there are some sex therapists that might say, hey, for a limited time, porn is good to help you in some way. I don't trust a lot of that. But in general, I have yet to see a strong amount of psychologists come out and go, porn will always lead you to more intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never heard
Have you
that
ever
either.
Counseled? I mean, you guys are counselors. I mean, have you ever counseled? Like, you know what you guys need in your life right now is more porn.
Right.
Because it's kind of like this. Porn, as we talked about, it heightens the expectations that reality can't meet. And what they say, you know, when there's a distance between expectations and reality, what's in between is disappointment, disillusionment. And that's what porn does, is it like, I'm made for you, you're made for me, but we're not matching up what I'm seeing. And if what I'm seeing is the strongest impression and it's fueling my brain and it makes me feel like that's joy, and I'm not experiencing that with my spouse, I'm not going to connect with my spouse. I remember we used to make a lot of jokes at Weekend Remember. You know, we speak for Weekend Remember for Family Life. And we used to make a lot of jokes from the stage about how men are more hungry for sex than women. And we talk about how, you know, guys are always trying to chase their wife around the room. We started getting a lot of women that were coming up going, I'd kill for that.
Mm-hmm. He didn't chase me.
He hasn't chased me in years. And in my mind, I'm going, that's because he's chasing porn.
Yep.
And porn's chasing him.
Mm-hmm. You also brought up objectification.
Yeah.
That's the world piece.
Yes.
Brain, heart, world.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, of all three parts to this series, that's the one that hit me the hardest, that I had the least awareness of. The connection between trafficking, prostitution, and pornography. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, I was going to say, I was going to ask you two first, like, what was it that hits you about that? Because I'm finding that is the one that's resonating with a lot of students as well.
Well, for me, I had no idea that if somebody's watching porn, you just assume that's a model who has signed up to do porn. No, it could be sex trafficked victims who are being used for that. That is heartbreaking, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The woman who came out of the porn industry who said, you know, they basically trick you into doing things that you didn't sign up to do. But if you want to get paid, you're going to have to do that sex act and you're going to have to do it right now.
Yeah.
And just how that, you know, sends those people who are, quote, making their own choices to a place where they're not making their own choices. Mm. And then the other piece that really hit me was I did not know that people who are involved in sex trafficking and grooming people for prostitution will use pornography to train them in what to do.
Yes.
I was just sickened mm-hmm. by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because again, they're training people to do what? To satisfy the exact desires of the person, whether that's healthy for you or your relationship, you know, there's no relationship involved in prostitution,
no.
But it just completely turns you into this thing that's worth only what you can do for somebody else.
Yeah. You know, to see the gradual degradation of the porn industry, it used to be, you know, they have these porn conferences, usually in Las Vegas. And the porn industry would come together. And there was this type of porn that was called gonzo porn. Gonzo porn was just like the most deviant, abusive. And by the way, 80 to 90% of porn images and porn scenes depict violence towards women. And what that trains young kids is that, oh, she must like it when I hit her.
Yeah. I've seen reports that teen boys are more sexually harassing of teen girls.
Yeah.
In part.
And so, and we look at all the domestic violence that's just skyrocketed recently. Yeah. Where is that coming from? You have to be trained to do that. So this gonzo porn depicts all of that. It's very degrading. And in the porn industry, the gonzo porn people would always be on the fringe. In fact, they didn't even want to let them into the facility.
Hmm.
Now, when, you know, not that I've been to these, but from what people have told me that are in the industry, now it's center stage.
Wow.
If you think that your kids are, when they look at porn, they're looking at what you looked at 30 years ago, it's night and day, and it's scary. So going back to the world, I mean, to fuel that industry, you have to train people and train. People won't choose to do that. So you groom young kids. And if you could really know that behind the screen of what you're watching, the years that it took and the choices that were made to put that person on that screen in front of you, it wasn't their mostly it was not their personal choice. And you would be incredibly ashamed that every watch, every click is fueling child trafficking. We have more slaves today than any time in human history. And 80 to 90% of those slaves are in the sex industry, fueling the porn industry.
We've been listening to a portion of the Family Life Blended podcast with Gayla Grace and Brian Goins. Man, that last part is heavy. Well, we've got Ron Deal, the host of that podcast. He's with us now in the studio. Ron, I mean, what a conversation. I mean, it just highlights the fact that we as parents, we got to get involved.
Yeah.
Why do you think so many parents stick our heads in the sand?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got some thoughts around that, but I just want to join you in that last comment from Brian. And I got to tell you, when I watched the series, much of the content in the brain and the heart portions, I was familiar with. But when I got to the world, it really shocked me. Mm. I had no idea how how much the porn industry is connected to slavery, how it's used to groom girls to grow up in and become part of the porn industry is very, very sobering stuff. Mm. And when you hear that, you go, yeah, we cannot just sit back. We can't just take this lightly and stick our heads in the sand, which I think is what a lot of us do as parents. And it's so tempting.
Because we don't know what to do.
We don't know what to do, and we're scared.
Yeah.
And to even begin to talk about sexuality or pornography means that we have to admit that we're sexual beings, and that's a weird, awkward thing for us as parents. And so we really have to kind of get prepared. You know, we really have to do our homework, which is one of the reasons I think this series is so fantastic, is that it's designed for you to watch with your children.
Yeah.
It does the work and says the things that you would never feel comfortable saying. But then it opens the door for you to then have a conversation afterwards. And of course, that's got to be fueled by our desire to teach our children, to connect into them. And so Brian has a couple of suggestions that we talk about on the other part of the podcast that people are not getting to hear. Things like prepare your story, just sort of rehearse your story. Like, when were you first exposed to pornography and how did it impact you? How did it make you feel? And all of a sudden you join with your children in the feeling and you're more common with them at that point. You don't have to be this parent who has all the answers. Like all of a sudden it's you and me together fighting against this kind of stuff. So it's important to prepare ourselves to be able to have that conversation with them.
So Ron, how specific, I mean, I'm guessing we're not going to go into any sort of detailed description, but what do you think that sounds like as a dad or a mom?
Well, you know, for me, I talked about with Brian in our conversation about how I was first exposed to pornography when I was 12. I didn't know what to do with it, didn't know what to think about it. And you have this rush of emotion and thought and like, where do I take this? And of course, I didn't feel comfortable talking to my parents about it. And I didn't want to say anything to my friends. So I just sort of let it sit inside me all by itself. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were to just say that out loud to my children, which I have done, they instantly go, oh yeah, me too. Like that's what happens is you get this rush, your thoughts and your feelings, and you don't know what they mean or what do I do with them. Immediately, it just sort of levels the playing field, brings you down to that level where your kids see you as a regular person, not their parent who's going to punish them because of this thing that they were exposed to. Mm. But now you can begin to deal with it together. It is so amazing to me how children and adults intuitively know this is a subject we're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if a parent doesn't go to that length, you will never get there. But once you say, yeah, me too,
yeah,
you know, and this is what God calls us to do to manage those thoughts in ourselves as we seek to follow him, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, I can talk about this with my parent. Mm. By the way, Brian has another suggestion and it's practice your non-shock face, you know, because I really believe this. I think the bigger deal we make it as parents to talk to our kids about sexuality, about pornography and things, then the bigger deal it becomes for them. Our anxiety becomes their anxiety.
Yeah.
If we can, A, make it matter of fact, almost like you're having a benign conversation around, you know, you got a math test today and we're going to pick you up after school and we're going to go to grandma's and, you know, well, you're just kind of talking about normal stuff. Mm. Try to broach into the conversation with this being normal stuff. Mm. If you go, okay, now I need you to sit down. I need you to, what are you doing? You're building up anxiety, tension in yourself, and our children pick up on that. So talk about it in a matter-of-fact manner and have a non-shock face. Let it be something normal. And by the way, didn't that send an important message that this is a normal part of being a human and we don't have to be ashamed of it?
You know better than anybody, this is an issue in step families and blended families.
It is.
As well. Tell us about the Step Family Summit coming up.
Yeah. So our ministry equipping event for lay couples who are leading blended family ministries or pastors, any sort of ministry leader who's interested in learning more about step families and what your church can do to help those in your community. That's our Summit on Step Family Ministry. Happens every fall. It's going to be in October this year, October 23 and 24, 2025. We're going to be in the Nashville area. We'd love for people to come be a part of it. We'll put a link in the show notes. Or you can simply go to summitonstepfamilies.com. Summitonstepfamilies.com.
Thanks, Ron. That's good stuff.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.